You're listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
Hi, and welcome to Let's Go for Coffee with Hannah and Abby.
We are talking about identity, internal, external measures of success.
Burnout and what can lead to it. How there's so many pressures today, especially the whole wellness culture and being that girl, being successful in what you do for work, what you do at school.
And the value of being you.
Let's get into it, Hannah. Identity.
Identity.
Yeah. It's such a strange one because we all know that we have an identity, obviously, but where we find our identity, we're not really taught about in at all.
Yeah. Have you always felt like you've got a strong sense of who you are?
In some aspects, yes, and in some aspects, no, which is such a wishy-washy answer.
Yeah.
I know.
Not that helpful, but...
No, but I'll explain. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like I know who I am as a person. You know, I feel like I've got a pretty strong inner voice and I know who I am. But I have regularly allowed external voices and sources of identity to construct my identity more than my inner voice was. So it just depends on where I'm finding my source of identity as to whether I feel like it's strong.
Right.
Yeah, because obviously the external sources often conflict with my internal sources. So then if I'm listening to my external sources, there's often a lot of conflict and a lot of unsureness mm-hmm. about it, you know?
Yeah, I think a lot of identity, you know, some people are just really good at listening to their gut. And they just have that really good intuition of this feels like me, this doesn't align with me, that's that.
Yeah, see, I've got a strong gut like that.
I have spent most of my life completely ignoring my gut instinct.
Interesting. Why? Yeah.
Well, I don't know, because I think I didn't really know who I was, which I still don't, and that kind of freaks me out to say, but that's the reality.
Yeah.
And I like to know things. I like to be quite sure of myself and sure of...
the answer.
Yeah.
Because I remember in science when we would be told a piece of information and I'd be okay. And you'd be no, but why? Why is it that? I don't understand. And I'm Hannah, it doesn't matter. And you're yes, it does.
Yeah. I really have to know the why and explain everything. So I think...
Yeah.
When... stuff is coming from internal and I'm trying to work out what I should do or who I am, I guess, there isn't that clear relationship between a decision and the why. Whereas if it's an external source, so when we're talking about external stuff, we're talking about things validation
awards.
From peers or awards or that kind of stuff and being should I do this or this, and making a decision based on external stuff being actually this is, then it's, I think I followed that so much because it was quite easy to see that relationship and get
it's very clear cut as well.
Yeah, so it's easy to go down the line that doesn't actually align with your internal source of identity, which is kind of actually, I don't like science. I don't want to be a scientist. That's not who I am. But everyone's telling me that I should. And if I do that, then they'll be happy and then I'll be a good person and
trusting
fuck the
internal
person. Yeah. So I think I've struggled a lot with identity and kind of trusting the value of my internal voice in terms of leading me towards a person that I'll probably want to be.
Yeah, interesting. I always find my biggest struggle hasn't been with academics and has more been with how people perceive me versus how I perceive myself.
Mm-hmm.
Which is quite interesting because I feel like my academic goals and everything has always aligned with what I was achieving or how I felt I was sitting always aligned with how I was achieving, so there wasn't a lot of conflict in those areas. It mm-hmm. was a big part of my identity when it probably shouldn't have been, but that's another problem.
Yeah, but itself. I feel like when you're at school, like, that's honestly where you spend most of your time. And that's kind of a lot of what you do is kind of learning things and then showing that you know things.
Yeah, and a lot of your, like, satisfaction and, like, people telling you you're doing well comes from that. So it's very hard to not place a big value on it.
Super normal.
In your identity. Yeah.
But I think something you need to evaluate as you grow up. Yeah.
Exactly. But then with, like, how people viewed me, especially in school, I got a lot of, like, I was apparently very confrontational or, like, quite intense or a lot and stuff like that.
You're a debater. Which isn't, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which isn't what I'm like internally at all. Which I think that my, like, super close people to me know that. They know that I don't want to, like, hurt anyone or upset anyone.
You actually don't like confrontation?
I hate confrontation so much. I hate making people upset. Like, I twist myself internally just trying to make people not upset about a situation.
Mm-hmm.
But my biggest problem was that, like, at home and then also at debating, we had a lot of, like, constructive conversations. You know, like, being...
Conflict and argumentation is, like, totally fine.
Yeah, and it's not conflict. Like, people are just standing up for their opinion. You know, it's not personal vendettas.
Yeah.
So I would always just engage in conversation and engage in things because I was interested in it, and it was me showing that I was, like, interested, you know, or, like, I was keen on the topic, but it just came across apparently as me just being confrontational and standoffish. Which I now can't get away from, which really frustrates me.
But yeah.
I can't debate it with people because if I was to be like, I'm not confrontational, I'm confronting them.
That's like one of those lovely, like, you're being defensive things of like, you're being defensive. Like, and it's like, no, I'm not. And then it's like, by saying I'm not, it's like playing into it, like, and you actually can't.
You're so emotional. And it's like, I'm getting emotional because it annoys me, but I'm not emotional about everything.
Oh, hate it. Hate it. Hate it.
Yeah. So that was like a big, and still is a big struggle for me of like, I almost overcompensate. Because I'm like, no, that's not what I'm like, and that's not what I'm thinking, and I don't want you to think of me in that way. So this is like, I overcompensate, but then no matter what I do, people aren't changing their opinions, so I need to just let it go.
Yeah, that's so hard though. That's so very hard. I don't know. I think a lot about what other people think. Like, I spend way more time than I should thinking about how people perceive me and how they, I guess, about our interactions. And, like, I have really gone out of my way, I think, to try and break free of the person who I think people perceived me to be.
Interesting. Like, as a almost, if you're so separate from that, then they can't control you in that aspect.
Yeah, and then it's like, well, you have to kind of set any expectations aside because you actually don't have a clue what I'm up to. But, I mean, because, like, as a child, like, I did not think of myself as a creative person at all.
Interesting, because I would say you're so creative.
Well, this was the thing I didn't really realize until I kind of was really unhappy doing non-creative things. And I was just absolutely itching to make something or do something.
Mm.
And then... now I'm kind of like, oh shit, this is something that actually is makes really important to me, and like definitely a part of who I am and a part of my identity. And I kind of felt like I had to really like flip to the other side and be like, okay, cool, I'm gonna dress funky and do creative shit because like that's who I am now. A little bit subconsciously, but then looking back I'm like, oh yeah, like you got a nose ring because science people don't do that. Don't get me wrong, I love it and I feel cool, but like, yeah, that was a
quite a drastic see, because I struggle with that in terms of like, I love what I do academically. I'm very like, I love analysis, and I love even in my computer science and also in my law, I love the figuring out problems and all of those stuff, and it makes me really interested. But at the same time, the thought of working a desk job for 40 years dries my soul to a ground, and I would much rather be in the kitchen cooking, you know. And I'm like, I should have just gone to culinary school because like, I love cooking and all I want to do is cook. all day, every day. But I never even allowed myself to think about doing that because it was always like, no, you're academics, you do academics. Like, I didn't even take food science at school because I thought I had to do all three sciences.
Yeah.
Which made no sense.
There's like, so much pressure put on, like, when you're in high school or when you're a student to do what other people think that you'd be good at. Like, all the time. Because I did the same. I mean, we both did, like, all of the sciences and
Maths,
calc and
English. Three sciences.
Stuff that is completely irrelevant to me now. And I think that there are skills you obviously pick up through, like, perseverance and learning things that, you know, there aren't, I'm not saying it's a waste of time necessarily, but I just don't think that I really considered any of what I wanted to do. And I didn't know what I wanted to do either. And I don't know what I want to do.
Yeah, and I think I did those things because I wanted to keep my options open.
Yeah.
Because it was like, well, you're able to do whatever you want to do at university, so you need to keep your options open so that you can do whatever you want to do. But I didn't really think about what I actually wanted to do and how that might not be academic, which is interesting in itself. And or even, like, I dropped calculus in year 13 to do art history.
Yeah.
Which felt so rebellious.
Oh, God. Yeah, no, that's wild.
Because we were in this separate stream.
Yeah.
So they're like, everyone in the class was in that class from like year 9 or 10. And they
were just moved up the levels.
Yeah, and there was a seat left for me in that class. Like,
in
they
case
just
you changed your mind.
Yeah, they just waited for me. And they even, like, the teacher from the year before pointed me out to the teacher from that year, being like, oh, this is the girl that didn't take your class.
Bruh. That's so
I
funny.
I was like, lol, whoopsie.
Whoopsies.
And I just took a subject that I was like, oh, I'll just have fun with it. And it was interesting because I had no pressure to do well in art history because I was like, oh, I don't need it for uni. So I just had a lot of fun.
And it's not a part of your identity either. So if you don't do that well at it, it's not going to reflect you being a shit person.
Yeah.
Which I think is something I struggled with as well.
Do you think that these, like, because obviously a large source of our identity is academic just because we've been told for a large portion of our lives that we are academic.
Yeah.
Do you think that, like, that kind of draws in the whole golden child syndrome thing into our identity?
Yeah, so golden child syndrome is kind of this concept that as a child you're told that you are, like, exceptional or special or kind of hashtag gifted. I hate the word, but anyway. From, like, an early age, and people are like, oh, you're going to do great, no worries, you've got a massive potential, how exciting for us, and cool for you. And as a child, you kind of don't necessarily relate to that, because you're, like, still just trying to learn how to tie your shoelaces, and you're just trying to make friends and do that kind of thing. And so then you kind of, it's almost like an imposter syndrome about the gifted things that you've been told, is, like, you just don't really feel like it is you. And then as you kind of age and stuff, you doubt any validation that it's actually kind of, I don't know, am I explaining that?
Yeah, and I think also the whole thing of, because you've been told that you're this amazing person, whether it's in sport or academics or anything like that, it makes you feel like you have to achieve in those things to make those people happy. Whether it aligns with what you believe you want to do or what you feel like you can do or not, you still feel that pressure in order to achieve in that area for some unknown reason.
Yeah, and I think as well, like, it kind of ingrains in you that there's this huge expectation on you from others that you have to do well all the time, and that failure is not just failure of yourself, but it's of everybody who thought that you were good. It's kind of like, if I fuck up, everyone's going to be disillusioned and...
Yeah, and I'm not going to have this, like, key aspect of my identity anymore.
Yeah.
Which is very scary.
It's a lot to put on someone.
And I feel like we put that on almost all children nowadays. Like, the amount of parents that want their kids to be special...
Yeah.
You just hear it constantly, like, oh, little Johnny, he's just so good. He's counting just so early, and we just know that he's going to be amazing. And it's like, honestly, people, like...
Yeah, and I think it is good to, like, encourage children or whatever to, like, if they are naturally good at something, to, like, pursue that.
Or if they're enjoying
it. Yeah, But often that enjoyment piece, I think, gets left behind. Or, like, kids aren't necessarily taught that enjoyment of things is important and valuable. Because I don't think I really realised that my enjoyment of things was actually a part of stuff to be considered when, you know, making decisions.
Yeah, I always had a very separate thing in my brain. It was like there was work time and there was play time.
Yeah.
And like they didn't cross over and they didn't merge. And, you know, like when you were working, you did well and you worked hard. And then when you were playing, you could have fun and take a chill. Which made me end up resenting work time, even as like a little kid. Like I would sit there crying my eyes out because I didn't want to do like my Kumon homework, or I didn't want to practice the piano or something like that, where it's like I was still having fun doing it. Like I begged my parents to do Kumon. They didn't force me to do Kumon. Like I begged my parents to do Kumon because I wanted to be smart.
Yeah.
But it's like a round circle, like a catch 22 almost. But then when I actually had to do the work, it was like, but I just want to have fun and I can't have fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it was, I feel that.
It's an interesting, and then it just, I still resent it to this day.
Haven't let go.
I haven't let go. But then I also, thinking about it, I think that a lot of my resentment towards like doing work a lot of the time just is because I'm burnt out.
Mm-hmm.
Like I don't think that I'm resenting work because I dislike it, because I'm taking things that I do enjoy. I think I'm resenting it because I just want a break.
Yeah. What is your experience of burnout, Bane? Because I think it's really common, and also we don't really acknowledge it as a valid, like, issue.
Yeah. I think I've realized recently that I hold on to stress. So, like, if I know I've got to watch a lecture, or I know I've got something coming up, I hold on to that stress the whole time until I do it.
Yeah.
Which is a very like harsh fight or flight state for your body to be in all the time, to be like, I've got something to do, Like even if I'm just like relaxing, sitting down or eating lunch, my body is still in the state of like, oh, you've got something to do, and like tense.
Yeah.
And so
chronic stress.
And I only really am able to stop that when I genuinely don't have anything to do.
Which is never.
Which is never. That's asking for a lot, right? That's asking for me to, like, fall off the planet or something.
Yeah.
So I'm just in this constant mode of stress. Mm. And then I find that oftentimes it'll be like, you know, you'll be in this constant mode of stress, but you're okay and you're working out and you're doing this and you're doing that and everything's kind of falling into place and, you know, you're fine. You're just running and
you're
running
like
and running.
You're like stressed, but you're managing to keep up with everything.
Yeah.
So it's not an issue.
Yeah. And then I'll get sick. Or like I'll have one late night or something like that. And then I'll be exhausted. So then a whole week's gone because I'm exhausted and I can't keep running. So I'm just doing kind of bare minimum things to get by. And then everything's thrown out and then stress and then back up, you know? And it's just the cycle of like high running for a long time, falling down, probably from being in that state of stress and high running, and then getting behind and feeling more stress and then high running again. Yeah.
Yeah, I think burnout almost is inevitable. I want to say, as like, we live in a society. Just like the meme. But like everywhere we look, it's all about productivity and output. And like, look at these CEOs who wake up at 5 a.m. and they gym and they do all the things. And that's almost the standard.
It's the measure of success.
Yeah. And so
if you can't do that, you're not successful.
Yeah, 100%. So I think it's really easy to always feel behind and as though you're not doing enough of what you should be, even though realistically you are doing enough. Like you don't have to be doing the most. And if you are doing the most, it's probably at the detriment of other aspects, including, I don't know, relationships or like mental health.
Yeah, well, often those CEOs that you're talking about, like, they don't have the best family relationships because they are generally quite selfish with their time and are spending, 14 hours a day working.
Yeah, and let's say, one step back as well is that, say you are doing exactly the same work like schedule as somebody else. So like your classmate in uni, say, so you're both studying for however many hours a day, you go to the gym, blah, blah, blah. It really, it depends on your external levels of stress as well, whether you're likely to burn out or not. Everyone is different.
That's so true.
If you've come from a background of abuse or trauma or that kind of things, your levels of stress are going to be higher and you're going to be take way less time to burn out compared with somebody next to you who's got way more resources and support and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Which just, I mean, comes from a place of like, you can't compare directly and expect the same results. Like, everyone is so different.
Oh God, yeah. And it also, like, different things will set different people off. Mm-hmm. Like, what I hold on to stress-wise, other people, like, it may not even be a drop in the ocean.
Legit.
But it's something that I can, like, brush off and doesn't bother me, maybe, like, the biggest thing in the world to other people.
Yeah, and loneliness as well is a huge stressor.
Yeah.
So if you don't feel, even if you've got, like, a solid support or you got a lot of friends or whatever, if you feel like you don't have someone to turn to, or someone you can talk about shit with, then you're more likely, your just stress levels are going to be higher and you're going to be able to take less on. So it's like things like that that you may not even think about because you're like, I've got heaps of friends. Like you can have three friends, say, and that's just like enough and you feel super supported and you're like vibing and feel really loved. And then sometimes you just go through phases where you're just like I just feel really alone. And
oh God, yeah.
Like it's so mentally driven rather than actually how many friends you have. You kind of got to keep that in check if you're gonna be, I don't know, working out what you're gonna do and how much burnout time you've got.
We've got some questions from some friends. So why do we feel guilty when we do nothing?
Oh man, this is at me. I am dreadful. I cannot do nothing. I live like my family, terrible at doing nothing. We don't relax. But why do we feel guilty when we do nothing?
I think it's just the narrative, the success narrative again.
Yeah.
Of like, if you're not doing anything, you're not benefiting yourself. You're not getting anywhere. You're wasting time.
Yeah, 100%.
Which isn't true because we all know that you need rest in order to do your best. Oh my God, that rhymed.
Whoa, that's a quote for the wall.
Little like the live, love, love sayings, but okay, you need rest to do your
this
best.
This is an absolute tangent, but I've been obsessed with just finding like random internet meme things. And I'm just like, keep seeing, like I just watched one of Trisha Paytas.
And I'm refuting all negative energy right now. The energy I caused in this room right now, refuting, I'm saging myself, I'm saging you guys. Okay, we're saging everything and we're starting new.
I need that on my wall energy right now. Just like Trisha Paytas on my wall. But anyway.
Hannah really loves Trisha Paytas.
Oh, I don't know. I don't say that, Abby.
Trisha Paytas really interesting.
I find her an incredible reflection of society. Let's just put it there. Okay. Yeah, she's just great and very interesting.
But guilt over doing nothing.
Yeah.
I find it interesting because in my family, my dad burnt out when I was very young. Mm-hmm. So he sold the business and we went to Europe.
Yeah.
Which I understand how that sounds. But it was basically this thing of like, he worked for 10 years nonstop, was in China half of the month, every month, mm-hmm. and just kind of got to a point where it was like, can't do it anymore. Quit everything and we left.
Uh-huh.
Which probably isn't a point you want to get to in your working career, because that's probably not an enjoyable point to get to, even though like the quitting part was lovely. But a lot of people do end up at those points. So I think that my family ended up valuing doing nothing
mm-hmm.
a lot more than a lot of other people maybe. And like my mum got chronic fatigue when I was pretty young, and I have a chronic pain syndrome as well, so we've all had to kind of do nothing in order to look after ourselves a lot of the time.
Uh-huh.
Or like we really value going on a holiday to just relax and not do anything because we're all so tired that we can do that.
Uh-huh.
So I've never felt guilty in doing nothing because it's just been so normal in my family, which is a very uncommon experience, I know, but it's quite interesting that it's just not even something that crosses my mind when I'm sitting down being like, oh, not doing anything.
Oh, see, it's funny because I explained to someone, to my therapist, that I was like, oh, I just can't really relax. Like, I just don't. You know, when you sit down, people are like, oh, just chill out. Just sit on the couch, read a book, you know, just chill, just relax. And I'm like, that is not enjoyable to me.
See, I almost shut off. Like, it's like I turn off my computer inside my brain when I sit down on the couch.
See,
which
it's
probably
the absolute
isn't healthy.
Opposite. No.
Which isn't healthy because it's like, that's me, like, I'm overloaded with stuff. So I just sit down and, like, almost the whole, like, you know, just not existing in my body. I'm just sitting there.
Right, you just completely See, because I'm the opposite. I sit down and then I don't have distraction. And then I'm just like, my brain is going absolute haywire. And I think of all the thoughts and that's like not fun. So I just would rather distract myself by doing things.
When I think also like you can do relaxing things that you enjoy, like painting or going on a walk or going on a bike, you know, like
or
things
like
that aren't stressful. Like things that aren't stressful, but also you don't have to be sitting literally doing nothing.
Yeah, that's true.
It's the theory of taking time for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I think.
There's probably the best way to avoid burnout, I think, is planning and scheduling, if you're a scheduler, those breaks and making them mandatory as like as important and as a priority as that meeting that you've got or that other thing that you have to do. You have to make definitive time for them or else they just won't happen.
And I think choosing things that you value doing, you know, like for me, it's cooking, for other people, it's painting or anything like that, or reading a book or doing something that you actually genuinely want to do.
Yeah.
Means that not only will it be almost like a meditative experience for you in doing it, but it means that you will actively try and do it if it's scheduled in rather than avoiding it.
Oh, totally.
Another question about like specifically wellness guilt. Trying to do the fitness and the healthy food and the meditation and the journaling, like how do you manage to do all of those things? Which is an interesting thought because right now on the internet, there's this big thing about being that girl. Have you heard about like that girl?
What girl?
So there's this thing called like, it's literally called that girl. And it's like, it's the girl that gets up and meditates and does some yoga and does a workout and drinks a green juice and does some writing in her journal and, you know, has a couple friends, but, you know, is focusing on herself and is comfortable with herself and is everything with herself. And the premise of it's great, right? The premise of it is you take time for yourself. You take time away from media and your phone and anything that causes high stress levels. And you just slow yourself down and you enjoy the morning and you enjoy your day and you look after your wellness. And that theory is great.
Yep.
But the pressure of being this aesthetic wellness guru.
Yeah.
One, most of us don't enjoy those things. Like a lot of people don't enjoy meditating or journaling or a green juice.
Yeah.
You know, like that's not a relaxing thing for them. That's not something that they're like actively enjoying. So it's a pressure to do, which is in itself, like they're forcing themselves to do things that they're not enjoying. So it's not achieving the things that they actually want.
Yeah. Not that all self-care necessarily has to be enjoyable, but
oh no,
I think, yeah, there is a lot of pressure to be that person.
Work out a certain amount of times a week or to eat certain types of food and to, you know, because it's like, oh, but you're looking after yourself and healthy body, healthy mind. You'll just be amazing and you'll feel great once you do all this stuff.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
which,
my God.
Like,
it's actually a cult.
It does work slightly. Oh, God,
it's
it is
a wellness
cult.
Literally, okay, Lorde's song Mood Ring is all about that gal.
Interesting. I haven't listened to it.
You need to. It's, she did the genius like lyric breakdown analysis stuff, and it's all about like the gal who's out here just checking her mood and making sure that she's all good, but just using like measures that she just knows isn't a real reflection, like a mood ring. And how they're like, oh, maybe we'll get high, but only if like the wind's right and the timing's all good and I'm on top of all my other shit, and then I can relax and like then I can
interesting
do all my stuff. Yeah,
because I think that a lot of, I do follow a couple of wellness accounts, and I mean part of me wants to unfollow them because I don't think they're very productive for me personally, but I, like, a lot of times I'm listening to these people post on their stories and stuff like that, and I'm just, all I'm seeing is them tense and stressed about trying to do everything they think they need to do to be happy and well.
Mm-hmm.
Like this whole, like, oh, I didn't think I had time to go to the workout at the gym today, but like, no excuses, I have to go to the gym kind of thing. And like, yeah, I went to the gym. And like, I know that it's supposed to be this whole, like, look at me go, like, I went to the gym even though I thought I couldn't. Mm-hmm. But all I hear is, you were tired and you wanted to stay in bed and you're stressed out, but you couldn't let yourself take the day off because you need this wellness routine in order to feel some sort of success or like you're doing good.
Yeah. Feel okay about yourself.
Yeah. So rather it being a active decision of like, you know what, I really want to go to the gym this morning, or like, you know what, not feeling it, but I do think it'll be helpful and I'm just going to take it slow. It's like this pressure of like, if you don't go, you're lazy.
Which is so ironic because the whole movement around like wellness and that kind of thing is all supposed to be about prioritizing your body and like looking after it and moving it well and doing stuff that feels nice. But then when you get to it, they're like, but gym. And it's completely any body cues of like, actually, I'm exhausted and I'm just getting through the day, out the window.
Yeah,
very interesting. Yeah,
even like this, I listened to someone talk about, because a lot of the times YouTube videos or things like that, like how I got fit and healthy and stuff like that, they're great in terms of like, cool, you did that, but realistically, am I gonna do that? No. But this one, she was talking about how she focused on choosing an activity that she wanted to do. So it wasn't like you have to work out, it was just like, we all know that moving your body throughout the day is a beneficial thing, whether it's getting up and walking, doing some yoga, doing a really hard workout. And it makes you feel
good as well.
Yeah. So what you need to focus on is doing some movement. But what movement you do is not important, you know?
Yeah.
Like, realistically, all you've got to try and do is get some movement in. So just choose the movement that you want to do. That's going to make it easier for you to
get more sustainable.
Like, sustaining is the thing, which this whole wellness movement hasn't quite grasped sustainability.
Yeah, maybe aspects of it have, but the vast majority of stuff is still really like, oh my god, I get so triggered actually. There's one chick who always pops up on my like Discover feed, and I hate Discover feed. I actually Googled whether you could disable it on Instagram, and you can't. It's a trap. But anyway, she runs every day. And I'm like, hey.
Oh my god, she pops up on mine as well.
Does she?
Is that the girl with the 18-year streak?
Yeah, and she's goes, oh, I've run through 3 pregnancies and I haven't missed a day. And it's like,
she's like, just put your shoes on and do it. And don't take them off until you run.
Yeah, and then you'll never miss one. She just calls everyone who like questions her health and kind of decision-making around this, which I think any normal person would. They're like, okay, have you not been sick in the last 18 years? Have you not, you know, like had an injury? Snowing
outside and you've got a runny nose and a head cold.
Like, yeah, she just calls them all haters, which I kind of love, like, because it's hilarious. But also I'm like, this is not a message that I think is healthy and should be promoted. And yet you are everywhere. And evidently everyone is like, you and I both separately are seeing this content and kind of engaging with it, even though we don't want to.
It's so hard also, because like part of me's like, let her do what she wants to do.
Oh yeah.
And it's something that she does want to do, so you know what, let her do it. But the whole aspect of it making me feel guilty for not doing it, don't love
it. Again, it's like super performative. So it's like, it's one thing to like force yourself to go out because you're like, it's good for my body, blah blah blah, and that's like a whole nother thing to kind of post it all over social media as like inspiration so that you get like a second boost of dopamine. And also I think it's for a lot of people who start fitness accounts, a lot of it is for that accountability, so that they don't can't miss a day because people know about it and they'll feel bad, and it's like that kind of extra way that they think that they'll psycho hack themselves into being like the next fitness model, which inevitably, I mean, I've started up fitness things. I know that you have as well. Yeah. And you do them really consistently and really intensely for the first bit. And then you burn out because it's like, it's not sustainable. And yeah.
I know. And even I still every year go through the process of, I'm going to get fit and hot for summer.
Oh my god.
Every year. I have never
It's going to come round soon because it's just spring now. And you've got to get ready for summer very soon.
So I need to start working targeted. Out a lot. Yeah. Yeah, because if I get to summer and I do like how I look, then I'm going to be really proud of myself. And it's this dumb mental thing of, you know, that going over and over in my head of like, mm-hmm. yeah, but if you work out now, you'll be really happy when summer comes around.
Mm-hmm. And I'm not mentally prepared for that, if I'm honest.
I can't sustain it. And yeah. the dumb thing is that like half the time throughout summer, I don't really care what I look like. And then half the time I sit there going, oh, I really wish I worked out more. It's so dumb. Because if I wanted to, I would have. I didn't want to. I'm happy. I'm living my life. Who cares?
Yeah, I think it's interesting. Kind of back to the whole identity thing.
Mm.
I know a lot of people who have really prioritized health and fitness, that it kind of is inbuilt into their identity as well. And so then, like, I know for me, I was, like, really kind of thought of fitness as almost a part of who I was, and kind of if I didn't continue that, then some, like, people would really notice and that people would judge you for it, and that's kind of letting down others in that sense as well. So, like, kind of back to Golden Child, like, for us, I think it was mainly academics, but for some people it might be that you're just, like, people think that you're the hot one, or at least they did, and so now you're supposed to like keep this up even when that's actually not something that you identify with or that is important to you or that you kind of can do right now.
And it makes it really hard when like you're not always going to be the smartest person in the room, you're not always going to be the fittest person in the room.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have your down times, you're going to have your good times. And if your source of identity is purely those external things of success, you're going to have points where you're not happy.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. And
no matter how hard you work, no matter how hard you try, you're still going to be unhappy. And like, you can either just leave it and be unhappy, or you can work on your identity being internal.
Yeah, so I think this is probably where we bring in that we've done a lot of work recently, or at least I know I have, to try and change that those external sources of identity, so the rewards, other people's opinions and validations, move away from those to actually stuff that I can control, which is internally driven. So things like I really want to maintain like good quality relationships, and I have control over that. I can make sure that I contact people, I call them, I hang out with them, I make time and space for them. And no one else, like, you know how you're going against those. You know those internal metrics, and you can change them and improve them and build self-esteem based on that.
I think that's what's the most important thing out of that, is just you have control over it.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't have control over something and you still let it define you, like, how is that reasonable? It means that you could do everything or you could do nothing, but you're not in control of the result.
Yeah.
You know, like, we've got this, like, idea in our head of, like, if you work the hardest, you will succeed and then it'll be fine. But that's not the case. You could work the hardest and still not succeed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, that's not within your control. Sometimes things just don't work the way that you want them to work. But things like relationships, internal voices, how you react to things, how you act about things, what you do with your time, how you look after yourself, like, those things you do have control over.
Yeah.
Like, no one else can change that for you.
Yeah. And I think as soon as you kind of acknowledge that, and then I start to identify areas that you have maybe gone wrong, like, bring it back to me in high school, I did a lot of things that weren't through my intuitive direction, that didn't clarify anything. I was taking a lot of papers and I was going in a direction that wasn't aligned with who my internal identity was, and I was basing all of that on external stuff, and because of it I totally burnt out and didn't really care about anything and was just...
I think that's another thing about burnout, is that once you burn out, you lose the ability to, like, really care.
Yeah. Do we define what burnout was? I think generally most people have an idea of what it is.
Yeah.
But it's kind of that when you reach that point of just like having zero energy for stuff and you just don't care about stuff.
You feel emotionally detached, basically. Like you can't.
Yeah.
It's that block of like you can't, and you just dread. You dread what you're doing. You dread
you don't care
to do
about
it. Yeah. But you're still doing it and you care about doing well, but you just, everything in your body is telling you just like, nah.
Yeah. So I think for me, like burnout low-key was a blessing in disguise because it made me realize that actually the path that I was going down was not me and wasn't going to be something that I was going to be happy doing for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
And that was like a crunch time point of realization. I don't think I would have had to have that one-to-one conversation with myself had I just actually been fine.
Well, that's also, I was watching a video and this guy was like, you don't have to get burnt out. You know, like you can stop it at any point. You can look after yourself. You can stop the cycle of burnout because burnout's a cycle.
And
it's like, you don't, like, we all have recognized the signs of burnout now. So you have the ability to just take a step back and really listen internally and go, what's going on? Where are my stresses coming from? Am I valuing my time how I want to value it? Am I doing the things that I want to do? Am I giving myself the break that I need? Like, not all of your time needs to be filled.
Yeah.
I think is the other important thing.
Yeah, that's still a foreign concept, but I'm working on it.
Or even, like, having an empty schedule for, like, a whole week. You know?
Oh, yeah, because it's just been the holidays, and I've literally done, I've kind of done silly stuff in terms of, I have an assignment due soon, but it's not going to take me the whole week. But I've kind of just sat there doing it for a bit, but not really that well, because I'm like, I also don't know what else I'll do.
And your stresses are, like, kind of there about it.
Yeah, like, a little bit.
So you're not really resting, because it's on your mind, but you're not fully doing it, so you can't let it go.
Yeah, and actually yesterday I just decided I wasn't going to do it at all. Mm. And it was the most energized I've felt in a very long time. I just sat in my corner and I opened a book and I read a book, which is crazy for me. And it was really enjoyable. Genevieve Mora was going, so she's from Voices of Hope. She was discussing about some of her like routines that she does to kind of make sure that she stays well. And one of them was, she was like, I have a boundary where I don't do work after dinner. I don't go on social media. I just put it down and I do something fun. I watch a movie. And I was just like, holy foreign concept.
Yeah, see, I'm big on that. I'm but that big sounds on delightful. Just not doing any. Yeah, because I have like a shut off point where it's like, if it's not done now.
So good.
Because mostly because I don't want to do it after dinner. but like after dinner is my time.
Mm.
You know, like, it's, I want to eat my dinner and I want to watch some TV that I want to watch and I want to wind down to bed and I'm tired. I'm not going to be productive. I'm not going to be beneficial to my work.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I am not productive after dinner. I will not actually achieve much. I might write 100 words in a space of like 3 hours because I'm not concentrating and I don't have the energy. But I think the thought of not doing it feels like a waste of time.
See, this is the interesting thing. Is that this year, I've been told a couple of times that I seem like I don't work that much. Mm. Which I started stressing out because I'm like, I think that I work really hard. And, you know, I have been burnt out a lot. And I, you know, like, so am I just weak and I can't handle a lot? Or what's going on? And I think I started to realize that actually, I just prioritize my time in a beneficial way for me.
Mm-hmm.
And it means that I get my time and I get work time and I get everything done to the standard that I want it to get done at. And I've just figured that out for myself. And I don't know how to tell other people how to do that because everyone's so different. And like, some people love working at night and hate working during the day and all those different things. But I've realized that like, I look unproductive because I found a productive schedule for myself.
Go you.
Which is wild, right? Because like, this whole thing of success is like, the person that works the hardest does the best.
Work harder, not no shit.
Work hard, play hard.
No, I was gonna say work smarter, not harder, but I got it around the wrong way.
Oh,
so it's work harder, not smarter.
But that's like the thing, right? Of like this whole mentality of if you work really hard, you'll do well. And I've kind of learned that. Yeah, it's like
the grind.
Yeah, sure. Could I do an extra couple hours? Sure, I could. Am I gonna be a happier, better person for it? Probably not.
Yeah.
I've learned that I just need to do what I need to do what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Which is something that my dad and I have talked about quite a bit. Of like, I always looked like I was putting things off or not working hard enough. But actually, I just knew my limits and I knew the level and I did what I needed to do. But
yeah,
at some point, you do have to walk away. You know, like when you finish an assignment early, like a day early. But it's like, do I submit it now? Do I keep working on it? Do I think? And at some point, you just sit there and go, I've just got to walk away. I've done it. I've done my best. I need to walk away now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same theory for me with just like work in general.
Yeah. And I think that takes knowing yourself and having the introspection to be like, this is how I work best.
Mm.
And that takes time to work out.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah. I mean, I'm not saying that I've been able to do this like regularly or all the time, but I didn't even realize I was doing it, to be honest with you, until some people called me out and said, how are you doing? Well, you seem like you don't work that hard. Like, is it just easy for you? And I was like, I am working hard. I'm just working.
Being smart about it.
Yeah. I'm just giving myself the time of day to enjoy myself and be happy. And I still get burnt out. Which is the ironic thing, is that I'm doing all this stuff that people say you need to do to stop burnout, and I still get burnt out.
Yeah, see, I think I haven't burnt out in a while, which I'm kind of proud of myself. I think last lockdown, I remember just being honestly relieved when it came around.
Same.
Like, I was like, oh my God, like a government-mandated break for me to just be at home and not go to all the things was just genuinely a relief.
Yeah, like, I can't go anywhere, I can't do anything.
Yeah, and that was kind of a wake-up call in a way to be like,
that's a problem.
This is, you have control over this. You don't have to be doing all the things that you're doing.
Yeah. It's so hard.
But I don't think I have burnt out in a while because I am trying to be really conscious about doing stuff that I want to do and doing stuff that like fuels my fire.
Such a big one. It's like the whole saying of like, if you do what you love for work, you'll never work a day in your life. Which like,
I hate that, but yes.
But it's the same principle.
It's the same principle.
It does have some strength to it.
Yeah, so it's like if you are feeling burnt out doing what you think you should be doing, you kind of got to have a moment and be like, whoa, where's the should coming from? Is this coming from
external
within me?
Yeah.
Or is this actually what other people are projecting onto me and this is not actually who I am or who I want to be? So maybe I should pivot and go in a slightly different direction and see how that makes me feel. Well, I think burnout comes from external pressure.
And valuing those external pressures as part of your identity is always going to lead to more burnout.
Yeah, and sometimes it just is you doing too much. And uni's pretty hectic and
all of
your assignments are due at the same time. And that can leave you feeling pretty overwhelmed. And that's not like you have to quit everything and reevaluate, but that's just like overwhelming life. But I think if it's a constant thing, then it's like, let's see how we can manage this better.
Hmm.
And as well, people are pretty nice.
Yeah, I say people that, understand. They've gone through like, it themselves.
If you are feeling overwhelmed or kind of on the edge of burnout and it feels like there's no way you can get yourself out of it. Lecturers, they seem scary. Just flick them an email or like talk to your boss or actually
I was sick for like 2 weeks in a row and it was horrible, but by the third week, right, I'm so burnt out because I'm still trying to do everything on top of being sick, and I genuinely got to the point, it doesn't help that I have anxiety and that, you know, mental health was in the shitter by this point. But I could not leave bed for 3 days. I could not interact with anyone. I could not do anything. I genuinely had no energy to do anything. It was horrible. Like, I have not felt that bad in so long. And I had this test coming up And I was like, I can't study. And I was putting so much stress on myself. And the annoying thing was, I couldn't do anything about it. I was just sitting there with stress. Just bathing in stress. With no ability to do anything about it. And so my mom was like, why don't you just email them? Like, you're clearly sick. You know, you're clearly struggling. Mm-hmm. They don't expect you to do well in this state. Email them. So I emailed them and I was like, look, this is what's going on. I'm struggling. And they were like, that's fine. That's fine. You know, see what you can do. If you can't do it, just get a doctor's note and it's fine. And I was like, oh. And then suddenly all the stress was gone, right? Because it was like, you don't have to sit this test if you don't want to. Mm-hmm. So then suddenly I felt okay. And I started allowing myself to heal and get better and rest. And then I was able to study and sit the test because I had that time to rest.
Go you.
Which is wild, though.
It's wild and it's like, okay, health psych 101. We have these things, we have eustress and distress. So eustress is when there's like pressure on, but you think that you have the resources to achieve it and it's like a challenge. Mm. And that's super energizing and super good. And then we have distress and it's like, okay, this is a threat and I don't have the tools or the resources to manage it. And now I'm like negatively stressed. And I think the more that we go, okay, I don't have the resources, but I can actually reach out and help myself get to the place of like, this is an enjoyable challenge. By asking for stuff, all the power to you.
Yeah.
It's better for your health. It's better for you.
And I think this is the wellness thing that we want to promote. Rather than that girl that does meditation and drinks matcha. Like, if those things are your enjoyment sphere, do them. But I think the main point of that girl is just do what you enjoy. Set aside time to do what you enjoy so that you have the ability to put energy into those things that you feel like you need to do. Because if you're only doing those things, you don't have the energy for them. And it's just a matter of fact, you're a human, you can't do it all, so you need to prioritize things that you enjoy.
Yeah. Get to know yourself better, your gut, your instincts, who you are as a person.
Your identity. It's probably
way more valid and of value to you to listen to than everybody's expectations and opinions.
And you're going to be fine. Because you ain't
got control of them.
You're going to be, like, no matter what you do, you're going to be okay. My parents barely graduated high school. My mom didn't graduate high school. They didn't go to university, and we're fine. Like, didn't come from privilege either. Like, you know, none of that. It's just, we're okay. Because you're going to be okay. You work hard. If you're a good person and you like what you do, or you try to do what you like, at least, you're going to be okay. And I think you've just got to re-hone that back to yourself of like, if things aren't going well or you're struggling with things or you don't know if you want to do something, like, you don't need to do it if you don't want to do it. Just because there's this pressure that you should do something. If you don't want to do it, you don't have to do it.
I do have one quote pinned to my pin board that I think would be kind of cool to leave with. So we've got is this about me or them?
Mm.
So like, if they're telling me to do something, is this really about me or is this actually something that they want to do? Like, are they the dance mom who's like, you should do this? And it's like, that's because they didn't do it and they regret it. Like, that has nothing to do with you.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, it's irrelevant. Not your problem. Disregard it. Not your problem. And then number two is, who owns the should?
Oh, yeah.
Kind of similar concept of like, if you should do this or... But often it comes from the internal thing of like, ugh, I should go to the gym today. Or, ugh, I should take this paper or I should go to the library after this.
Mm.
If that's coming from within you and you're like, yeah, I should do that because I know that I'll feel good afterwards.
Yeah.
Go do it. If it's actually because that chick on Instagram keeps posting about it and now you feel bad about yourself and you're like, ugh, I gotta go to the gym because she kind of told me I had to.
Or even if it's like, I need that summer body or, you know, unproductive things that you can really call yourself out on and be like, is that my priority?
Yeah, that aren't actually leading you towards goals that you value and actually provide any value. Like, I think back to the kind of summer body thing, everyone goes, oh yeah, but like, why wouldn't you want to be like skinnier and hotter?
Mm.
And it's like, well, actually,
what value is it getting you if it's to the detriment of your mind and your body and your well-being at that time?
Yeah. So just kind of be real with yourself, I think. Who owns the should and is this about them? And then finally, like, don't fit in. You're not meant to fit in. Fitting in is for losers. No, I feel like I shouldn't call people losers, but...
I mean, no one fits in. It's bullshit. No, you can't fit in.
For me as well, like, the more that I've rejected that idea and the closer I think I've got towards my, like, true, authentic self, yuck, just generally on the whole, like, the happier that I've been.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah.
Because it's way less stressful.
Yeah, it's authentic. And it's easier to do because it's actually what you want.
Yeah. And you have to try way less hard. God, I hated what I just said then. Way less hard.
Proper English.
Yeah. I think that's probably about us.
Yeah, I think that's it. I hope this has been of some benefit or at least a little mindful session for today.
Yeah, a bit of a pep talk that you're important and your values matter and you do you, boo.
And also, thank you for joining us on our first season of Let's Go for Coffee. This is our last episode for the season.
Yeah, no, this has been absolute fuel to my fire and really enjoyed it, and I hope you have too.
Head over to our Instagram page at Let's Go for Coffee and send through any suggestions or anything you'd like to hear from us for season two.
Absolutely. See ya.
Bye.
Bye.
A Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.